Leading by example is one of the most fundamental but most violated principles of leadership. Even the best leaders can get too caught up in the noise of everyday business and forget to focus on what's most important. To talk about what's most important in the concept of leading by example, I asked retired Brigadier General Becky Halstead to stop in for a fireside chat. General Halstead was the first female graduate of West Point to be promoted to Brigadier General. She has 15 years of executive-level leadership experience developing and training high-performing, complex, and diverse teams. She has literally been in the trenches as a leader and has brought those lessons to her work with businesses around the world and to her book 24/7, The First Person You Must Lead Is You. What she learned in the trenches, we can now learn from her. General Halstead, it's a pleasure to welcome you to success.
Thank you. The pleasure is really all mine, I must say.
So may I call you Becky?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Becky, let's start with a bit of your history. Talk about your history-making moment when you became the first female graduate of West Point to make Brigadier General, something, an extraordinary achievement. How did that change things for you in terms of your goals and outlook on life and legacy and so forth?
Well, I mean, it was certainly a very humbling experience. I reminded myself daily that I had a lot to be grateful for, especially the people in my life who helped me, you know, my family, my friends, my community, you know, mentors and tormentors and coaches and peers and bosses. And so I think for the most part, it was, I really needed to stay humble, not forget my roots. And so I even went as far as putting a photo of myself as a second lieutenant. And it's a very poor photo, right next to my computer on my desk, only so that I could see it, not so that other people could see it. And I would look at that and go, you know, in 1981, when I became an officer, second lieutenant, that's what I looked like. That's who I was. And now I'm a general. But that journey was a journey of experiences with people who helped me become the person that I am. You know, I always say that leadership is about the lead. And so my soldiers helped me be a better leader. And I always want to remember where I came from so that I would do the same as other people, you know, entered my life.
It's really interesting, your strategy of keeping yourself humble, because most people, when they're trying to make it to the top, they post pictures of their best self or the car they want to have or the house they want to have to inspire them to grow. And then once you get there, I like this strategy of post now something that keeps you grounded, that keeps you humble of where you came from so that you could still connect with those that are still on the way up. What an interesting strategy. Now, stepping into a leadership role such as general can be difficult, but doing it with historical significance attached, I'm sure, made it all the more of an opportunity for learning, quote unquote. So share the most crucial leadership lesson that you learned during your first months as this history-making general and the story of how you learned it.
Right. Well, I would have to say that the number one thing for me was to trust myself, to stay real and be myself. And I had to do this very quickly. I got a call from my boss who was very upset, using a lot of four-letter words, and just said, hey, I better get to his office, you know, immediately. And I was in Germany, and he was a 3-star. I was a 1-star. And so he was very upset with some training that he had witnessed with some of my soldiers out in the field. So I made the long drive to Heidelberg, Germany, and reported into my boss. And, you know, he immediately let me know that he had no confidence in my ability to command. And to put this into context, this is 2004, and I already knew that I would be taking my command to Iraq to lead in combat. And you just, I would tell you that it's a moment when you go, your body's frozen in place. I had no feeling in my arms or legs. I'm going, I just can't even believe this is happening. I mean, it was probably one of the worst leadership events in my life, in my whole career. And so you don't really expect that as a general. So immediately I had to kind of get myself together. And I'm a big John Maxwell fan, read most of his books. And he has a book called The Winning Attitude. And I just kept thinking of things I'd read in that book about, look, Becky, you need to have a winning attitude. And even though he's saying this, you need to figure out, you know, is it right, wrong, and different. But trust yourself, because you didn't get to this point for doing a lot of wrong. You got to this point for being a good leader. And so So at any rate, with that no confidence vote, I was taken off guard quite a bit. And I went back to my own headquarters, brought my team together, and I had to quickly decide how much do I share with them and how much do I not share with them. But we were going to be required to do some training over. We're going to have to recertify some of our units. And so I needed to figure out exactly how much I shared and how much I did not share. And it's a point where it's very good to be transparent to your team, also to let them in, because they could be a great source of strength to you. You know, I believe in 360 degrees of leadership. So I've always led up, led across, and led down. And it was time for me to practice allowing my team to also lead up to me. So what I realized was I was dealing with a very toxic leader. And I had a wonderful general put his arm around me and say, "Becky, he treats all of us this way. And so I have to figure out a way to be that buffer to my people. And I have to lead through this. I have to lead myself and my unit through this, because we're still going to be required to do this training over again and without any resources." And Darren, there's a Harvard business case study that's been made out of this. I was doing an interview with them and it turned into a case study, so we could spend the whole time on it. But that was my initial introduction as a brand new general. And so, you know, no matter what level you're at, you got to trust yourself, be yourself, stay real, lead yourself and lead others through it, because shift is going to continue to happen no matter what level you're at.
So you did end up sharing the experience with your team. And then how did they react? What was their response?
Well, I didn't share everything with them because I didn't think that was totally necessary. I think some of it, you know, was fine to keep in confidence, just that because I didn't want them to become emotional. But I wanted them to experience a bit of the emotion that I was feeling, you know, and that was something I had to guard myself against, was to be, you know, not become angry, but just to figure out, okay, what do we do with this? So what I wanted them to do is to be aware of the situation. And what they immediately did was fascinating. They took ownership. They took ownership with me. So in other words, you know, I'm not doing this alone. And really, that was just a reminder that we're never doing it alone. You know, you always have your team. And so I call it leading up. And they led up to me and we became a strong team.
So as we get into your particular style of leadership, Becky, and the strategies and ideas that you have for us as leaders, give us a baseline to start with by sharing your definition of leadership and how it was formed based on your experiences in various leadership roles.
Well, you know, in the military, they give us definitions for everything. So in reality, I did not create or develop my own definition of leadership until after I retired in 2008. So the definition I came up with has five parts, and it goes like this. Leadership is the fusion of heart and mind in selfless action for the betterment of the team to effectively accomplish the mission and to make a difference.
I like that. Now, you know, one of the leadership philosophies that you teach is that leadership is a choice. I mean, break that down for us a little bit here. We understand the concept that leaders aren't born, that they're developed. But does that play into the idea of leading as a choice? Aren't we all leaders in some way, whether we choose it or not?
Well, yes, I actually think we are all leaders. And what I tell people is, the reason why I say that is because we have at least one person to lead, and that's ourselves. But there are degrees of how well or how often we do that. So when I say, you know, leadership is a choice, I'm just saying we have free will. So it's about choosing when to lead or not to lead ourselves. And some of us do that better than others. And then choosing how we lead. You know, shift happens. What's our response? So, you know, if you just take attitude, for instance, I say, you know, I get to choose every day my attitude. That's how I'm going to lead. You know, and it's like the only thing I really do get to control in my day is my attitude, right? But it really is a choice.
Well, as you say, we all have one person to lead. And I mentioned in my introduction the old adage of leading by example. Your book references this idea right in the title. First person you must lead is you. So explain for our listeners here, you know, why our leadership efforts need to always start with ourselves. See if you can just put a really strong exclamation mark on this concept so that people maybe have heard it 100 times, but today they get it.
Well, so I said, it's not about being the general, it's about being a soldier, right? But I can tell you that I would never ask of my soldiers to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. That's why it's so important to be the example, to be the standard. I wouldn't be able to punish one of my soldiers for doing something if I'm doing that same thing. I mean, and here's the deal. When you don't lead by example, what happens is you create a double standard. And what do double standards do? Double standards lead to mediocrity. And that's not the way it should be. So you must lead by example.
And so what tips do you have here? Give us two or three things that we need to do to make sure that we focus on leading ourselves first and foremost.
Well, we've already hit discipline being, discipline's the number one thing. And if you're disciplined, you will be the example, you will be the standard setter, you will choose the harder right over the easier wrong. But some specific steps or tips would be sit down and write down your top five values. And if you when I ask people to do that, sometimes I kind of see the blank stare like, oh, I hadn't thought about what my top five values are. Well, we should, because when you write down your top five values, then what I tell people is do it on a 3x5 card, stick the 3x5 card in your pocket. Then over the next 30 days, start kind of observing and assessing your decisions, your behavior, and then pull that card out and ask yourself, are my decisions, are my words, are my actions, are my behaviors reflecting those values? Because if they're not reflecting those values, then something's not right. You either have to change the behavior or you have to change the value. And I think the other thing that's important, Darren, is to have a purpose statement for your life. I went to a conference and they said in 8 or 10 words or less, write out your purpose statement for your life. And I thought, wow, that is very powerful. We a lot of people are, I set goals, I'm into goal setting, but at the end of the day, what is my life about? My purpose statement was, maybe cheating a little bit, but I said, I want to lead with purpose, on purpose. So with purpose means I want to lead with those values. And on purpose means I'm going to take the discipline to do it, to be the example, and to share it with others.
Now, one of the legacy thoughts that come out of the 20th century about leadership is that leaders need to always sort of be in control themselves. And oftentimes that could be quite emotionally removed. I know I feel like I was raised by Sergeant Gunnery from Full Metal Jacket, and showing emotions was just not something acceptable in our household. And I think that it actually can stunt a lot of emotional intelligence, which we know ultimately is one of the most important qualities to being a great leader. So explain how we benefit from our emotions as a leader without becoming emotional. Where's the balance within that particular equation from your perspective?
Yeah, it's a fine line, and I really believe that the most effective leaders are leaders who show emotion. But when it becomes emotional, that's when you cross the line, and that's when it gets trouble. So why is it important? What's the benefit of emotions? Well, for me, I think it improves your ability to connect with those you're leading. It's a relationship builder. Those you lead then see that you're real, that you're authentic, that you care, that you're sensitive, that, you're sympathetic, empathetic. And I think that's incredibly important, but it is challenging, and I was in Iraq from 2005 to 2006, hardest year of my life, but the most rewarding year of my life, and hardest because, you lose soldiers to the enemy, and when your soldiers die, there's going to be emotion, and how you show that, how you display that, is very important that you show it, but it's also important that you control it, because you got to keep on with the mission. I had a boss once who, he said to me, Becky, if there's one thing I could tell you to work on, it would be that you're too defensive. I said, too defensive, sir? What do you mean I'm too defensive? and she said, go figure it out, Halstead. So I left and I thought about, what does he mean? And what he meant was, sometimes I'm too emotional. When he'd ask me a question, in my answer, I'd get, I'd get excited, and I thought I was showing a lot of passion. But in my case, I'd start to talk faster, and and my, the pitch of my voice would get, you know, maybe higher. And what happened would be is that he would stop listening to me. And I thought, oh, I get it. You know, so he's thinking, you know, as I get emotional, that I'm actually being defensive. I didn't perceive myself that way, but doesn't matter. That's how he perceived me. And what I realized is I was losing my vote as a leader. And I thought, wow, there's a subtle difference there, but there is a difference. And by him telling me that, it helped me be a better leader because I started to identify that in the people that I led, those who showed the right amount of emotion and those who definitely were emotional and just, you know, they lost their rapport. They lost their connectivity with the people that they led and the people that, you know, they answered to.
Before we let you go, Becky, share one last story with us that you feel represents everything you believe to be crucial in a leader. Inspire us with one parting example.
Well, I think absolutely to be crucial in a leader is that you need to understand that you have purpose. And, you know, when I gave you my definition of leadership, you know, the fourth part is to effectively accomplish the mission. And I say effectively versus efficiently because effectively brings in the human dimension. So back to that kind of emotion piece. But the last line is to make a difference. You could say you don't even need that because success would be getting the mission done. But what I tell people is let's go beyond success and be significant. And that's why I added that, and make a difference. And the story I would leave you with is this. So I go to Iraq and I find out that I have three Iraqi colonels and their units that are going to be assigned to my command. I had 20,000 person command and these three regiments were added to me. So I go to southern Iraq on the Iranian border and I go to visit one of these Iraqi colonels in his unit. And I spent all day with him listening and all through translators, of course. Looking at his mission, looking at the way they operate, talking to his soldiers. At the end of the day, we sit and we have tea and we have a little something to eat. And I'm so moved by this gentleman's commitment to serve his country in such a horrible situation. And I'm so moved by his purpose for doing so. So I lean into him and I tap my chest and I say, inshallah, inshallah. I said, sir, thank you. Thank you for being willing to lead, to put your uniform on and lead when not your life is in danger. Yes, but your whole family's life is in danger. And he says to me, no, sit. And he stood up and he went over to the corner of the room and he took his flag, his nation's flag, off of the staff. He folded it. He kissed it. And he gave it to me. And tears just flowed both down my cheeks and his cheeks. This was about two soldiers, heart to heart, mind to mind, with a purpose of serving their country. And it was so amazing about that moment is that that moment is a cumulative effect of many years of serving, following, and leading. Many years of knowing that people are shaping you for something in the future. And what I try to tell people every day is that you are being shaped today for something in the future that you have no idea what for, but trust me, whether you're on a high or a low, a mountaintop or a valley, you're being shaped for that. And in that moment, I knew I was. I knew that I was in the right place at the right time and for all the right reasons, and that together we were making a difference. And that's, to me, so important for leaders to understand and to look forward to and to enjoy and to share with others.
So, Becky, I can't resist. This has been so great that I just want to ask you one last question. If we had to boil down everything that you know about leadership onto something that you can put onto a sticky note that we looked at every day on our mirror, on our dashboard, or something that would be a guiding beacon for us to become and grow into greater leaders, what would you ask somebody put on that sticky note?
I think I would ask them to put on the sticky note, be your best, give your best, because those you lead deserve your best.
That's great. I like it. That'll go on my sticky. That's fantastic. General Becky Halstead, it has been a delight. You are indeed an inspiring example of leadership thank you so much for bringing your experience and your inspiration to our audience here at Success. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I truly enjoyed it.